driving to your house, but if you're a little bit cheaper, you can drive to the store and you wait in this parking spot and they bring your groceries out to you that you've picked. And I thought, wow, that's such a great idea. But there's some things you're probably going to miss out on if you do that, like getting that shopping cart with the weird wheel that kind of makes the noise the whole time and everybody looks at you, or when you go in and you're really hungry and you come back with this tremendous amounts of food that you don't know what to do with. Or there's that kid that gets lost from his mom and then frantically screams running around the store trying to find him. And it made me think about when I was a kid at the local grocery store. My mom told me, hey, you need to stay close. We're going to be in and out and we're going to get through this grocery store trip really quick. And I thought, okay. And, you know, they make those candy displays really enticing. And I remember looking for, it seemed like just a moment. And then I looked around, and my mom was gone, and I thought, uh-oh. And so I looked for the first pair of legs that I could find with jeans, and I thought, there she is. And so I ran across the store, grabbed hold of these jeans, and then I looked up, and to someone's surprise, they looked down at me, and it was not my mother. She was slightly to the left or the right and laughing, I think, and somewhat horrified. But it got me thinking about Jonah, and so often when, you know, as a children's ministry pastor, I open up a book and it's about Jonah. It's about Jonah and the fish, and there's this constant conversation about Jonah and the fish, Jonah and the fish, and the fish is only talked about a little bit. And so this evening, as we talk about Jonah, I want to shift to talking about Jonah and God, and what God is doing in Jonah's life, and particularly how Jonah is being, or God's power is being displayed in Jonah, in the story of Jonah. So tonight's passage comes from chapter 2, verse 10. Let me read it for us now. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight. Yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. The weeds were wrapped around my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you. In your holy temple, those who pay regards to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon dry land. Tonight, the first way we are going to see God's power displayed in the story of Jonah is God's power over creation. When we think about the story of Jonah, we think about how when he first started off, the word of the Lord came to him, and the prophet goes the opposite direction. He finds himself on a ship headed far away, and a storm comes upon him. This is not just an ordinary storm, but a storm that produces wind and waves that make seasoned sailors tremble with fears. After a while, they find out that Jonah is the cause of their trouble, and he tells them to hurl him overboard. The sailors struggle with what they have been asked to do because they are starting to fear God and don't want Jonah's death on their hands. So they try even harder to row back to shore. But it was all in vain. They came to a point when they had to hurl him overboard, and they did. At this point, the Lord has revealed his power over the wind and the waves, but more so, we see his power on display when the storm stops. At this point, the sailors are completely blown away at the power of God has over creation. While they are forever changed and probably have quite the story to explain of what happened to the cargo they had, we see a shift in the story to the man in the water. My thought has always been that once he was tossed into the water, the sailors saw a great fish come and swallow him. But Jonah's prayer reveals it might have been quite different, not quite that simple. While this prayer is from the belly of the fish, he describes what has happened up until this point. But before we dive in too much, let's remember how our culture oftentimes influences how we read the Bible. When we think of water, I'm sure many thoughts come to mind. Drinking, playing at the lake, swimming at the pool. But if you're like me, most of the time I don't think of danger, unless the kids are around. It's not always been that way. If you're a few times in my life, the danger of the water became abundantly clear to me one of the first times I went to swim in the Pacific Ocean on my honeymoon. I had grown up as a kid playing in the waves off the Gulf of Mexico and even in the Atlantic. I had no idea the power of water, but boy was I wrong when the waves in the Pacific hit me. They tossed me around like I was nothing, and somehow after making it back to the shore, I cleaned out all the rocks and the sand and got back to the pool that was good for me. So when we read of the water in the Bible, we have to understand that it's different. It's the great unknown. As well, water is often referred to as being separated from God in the Old Testament. So we need to think for a moment the terror Jonah faced as he was picked up by those scared sailors in the middle of the storm and was tossed into the dark, stormy waters. Imagine the fear Jonah's feeling as he hits the water and the first wave passes over his head, and then the next, and then the next. At some point, he is pressed deep into the sea. The dark sea goes darker, and the temperature drops. As he was feeling the pressure press in on him, he felt as though he was being driven away from the Lord. His desire to fight for his life would kick in, and he tries to swim to the surface, only to become entangled by the seaweeds. But it's not over. He's pressed even deeper. He's pressed to the roots of the mountain, or the bottom of the sea. We're not sure how long this lasts, but we know that Jonah is aware that his life is slipping away, and he cries out for the Lord for help, and something truly amazing. What is it? Well, if you're thinking it's the fish, it's still not about the fish. Even in the depths of the raging sea, God is near to Jonah and hears his cries for help. It also reveals that God is in complete control of everything that is happening. While Jonah is completely helpless and probably not even knowing which way is up, but God has Jonah right where he needs to be. He has timed every wave to come at the moment when it is needed. He used the currents to place seaweed at the very spot so that Jonah would get tangled up. And yes, he even had a big fish that could come swallow Jonah and save his life. God's power over creation is clearly displayed in the book of Jonah. Next, let's look at the power, God's power over people's minds being able to be changed. While it's easy to look at the story and see God's power over creation, we need to look a little deeper. Jonah was a stubborn man. When the word of the Lord came to him, he went and did the opposite. He makes it clear to the men on the boat he knew who was doing wrong. Those men looked around and saw what was happening and were afraid. They were even more afraid when they saw the wind and the rain stop. And then at the end of chapter 2, verse 16, we see that the change in their minds when they offered sacrifices and made vows to God, the God that had just revealed himself to them. Their minds were forever changed. But what about the guy in the water? He was brought low and was being pressed out. His troubles that he were facing were great, and they were real, but they all faded away when the Lord brought him near. He remembers that the Lord is good and that everything in this world is vain, that people who put their hope in idols are let down, but those that put their hope in the Lord find his steadfast love that endures forever. As well, we see a shift in the mind of Jonah. Much like the sailors that offered sacrifices and made vows in chapter 1, in chapter 2, verse 9, we see that Jonah's mind is changed when he says, "But with the voice of thanksgiving I will sacrifice to you. I have vowed and I will pay." Jonah sees the need to confess to God and to turn from those ways. God is able to make even the most stubborn man change his mind and confess that he is God. Lastly, we need to see God's power displayed in salvation. One of the things that Tim pointed out last month is that Jonah was likely in the belly of the fish singing this prayer. It gives quite the picture of a man that has changed from the start of the book until now. He is running away from God. He went from running away from God to saying that he will do what he commands. In that, he even quotes Psalm 3, and as we read in our call to worship today, that salvation belongs to the Lord. While I read those words, everything seems to be coming together in the life of Jonah. But for me, there are a lot more difficult things to try and understand about Jonah if we keep reading of his story. One of those things is, was Jonah truly repentant? In other words, was his heart changed, or was this just his mind changed for a time? The Bible is clear that we need new hearts to be truly believers of the Lord. If you notice my last point, God has the power to change people's minds. I wanted to use God has the power to change people's hearts. But the more I study, the more I wonder about Jonah's heart. I think it was Dr. Mark Furtado that said, if you want to know what God thought of Jonah's confession, just look what he has the fish do to him, vomit him out. To be clear, it is not God. To be clear, it is not that God does not have the power to change people's hearts. It is that I'm not sure if this text teaches that God changed Jonah's heart at this time. I struggle to know if Jonah really believes in what he says. And while I struggle to know what to do with Jonah, I start to wonder why on earth God would decide to put a book like this in the Bible. Could he have not put something a little more helpful? As I started to think those thoughts, I started to realize maybe I'm holding on to a pair of legs and should look up to see whose they are. Again, this book is not about some fish, it's about the power of God. And while we've seen up until this point that God has the power over all creation and the power over the minds of men, we need to see something far greater. And to do that, we need to fast forward the story 700 years to see when a different type of prophet comes on the scene. This man is different in so many ways. His name is Jesus. He was born in a special way, not just without riches or comfort, but without sin. As a boy, he learned to walk and to talk. His parents taught him the scriptures, and he would have learned about Jonah and what he had done. But as he starts his ministry, he begins to do some amazing things, like turn water into wine, to feed the 5,000 with a few loaves of bread and a fish. Again, not about the fish. One day, he would get on a boat with some sailors and head out into the water. Being tired, he would lay down and want to go to sleep. And then the storm would start to brew, and the sailors started to become frightened from the power of the storm. The waves grew so large as Jesus slept that the boat started to sink. So they awoke Jesus, and he does something different than Jonah. He rebukes the wind and the waves, and they listen. When the men ask, who commands even the wind and the waves and the water that they obey him? Clearly, Jesus has the power over all creation. But what about the mind? Later on, a very wealthy man comes up to Jesus and asks, how can I have eternal life? And Jesus responds that all he has to do is keep all the Lord's commands. The man's mind is made up that he has kept all of the Lord's commands until Jesus reveals the man's sin by telling him to go and sell all that he has. The man leaves with his mind completely changed from when he started. There are so many other stories, like how Jesus walked on water, how he gave sight to the blind, heals the sick, and then one day some men, hearing of his great works, ask him if he can give them a sign, and he responds in a very interesting way. In Matthew 12, verses 38 through 42, let me read it for you now. This is what Jesus says. Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. But he answered them, an evil and adulterous generation seeks for a sign, but no sign will be given to except the sign of the prophet of Jonah. For just as Jonah was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the great fish, so will the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of earth. The men of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, something greater than Jonah is here. The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she has come from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here. You see, Jesus knew that Jonah was not just about the fish. He didn't have to Google if it was possible for a man to stay alive in the belly of a fish for 3 days. He knew it because he knew it was about him. He knew that the word of the Lord would come to him and he would be obedient. He would be obedient even when things would get hard. When those that he came to save would abandon him, he would cry out to God and ask that he would remove the cup from him, but he never once turned away from what God told him to do. He would hang on the cross for sins he didn't commit, and he would enter the cold, deep waters of death. And he was placed dead in the grave for 3 days. And the greater sign happens, and he is raised from the dead. In this act, he would not just save the Jews who had faith in him, but just like the Queen of the South came to visit Solomon to see what the Lord was doing, all nations would be offered salvation through Jesus. So while we don't really know what the heart of Jonah, we know that his words at the end of his prayer are true when he says, "Salvation belongs to the Lord." And we can all rejoice that God has the power to save and promises to save all who believe in him. So what do we do with this? I have 3 application points to help us as we head to the table. Do you see the power of God in your story, or are you being distracted by things of this world? So often our faith is weak because we forget to look at the big picture. Personally, this week, it's been a difficult one. It seems like wave after wave are splashing in. My instincts tell me to row harder, to bail out the water faster, but the boat just keeps getting lower in the water, and I start to feel as though I'm alone in the storm with no hope. The Lord has told us that he will always hold us in his hand and never let us go. You are never far away from God, too far away from God to hear your prayers. This does not mean that it will be easy, but it does mean that everything we are facing is happening for a purpose. God is in control of everything. And if that is true, we should pray that God will give us eyes to look up and see him and marvel at the ways his glory is being displayed. Next, you may be thinking, I get it, but I have someone in my life that I love dearly that doesn't seem to understand. That's a hard place to be, to see someone that you love and care about turn away from the Lord and grow cold to the Lord. And I think this passage can give us hope. Stop for a moment and think what it would have been like for someone in Jonah's family to read this book. What in the world would they have been thinking? But I think it's telling us that while we don't know where Jonah's heart is, clearly Jonah has been taught who God is. On the ship, he made a profound statement to the sailors of who God is. And in the depths of despair, Jonah's cry out to the Lord, he quotes from Psalm 3. The scriptures are clear. We need to be faithful to pray and to teach and point everyone to Jesus. But they also are clear that the only one with the power to change someone's heart is the Lord. So if we take that responsibility on ourselves, we're putting undue burdens on ourselves, and we need to find the freedom and joy that the Lord is the only one with the power to change people's hearts, and he does. Lastly, if you are looking for a sign from the Lord, Jesus could see the hearts of the men asking him for a sign. He could see what they were truly looking for, something fancy or something that could maybe make them believe. You might be in the same place tonight with a weak faith, saying, "Lord, if only I could see you, I would be able to believe." Well, just like those men, it's a lie in your heart, just like it was. Like our scripture reading says, Jesus did give a sign. So if you're at a point in your life where you're waiting for God to give you a sign, I would ask that you would read the Bible and pray that he would give you the ability to see him for who he is and believe. And for believers that think my faith would be so much stronger if I could just see Jesus, your Savior left for a reason. When he went away and sent the Helper, so the Helper would come. The Holy Spirit has come to live in all who believe, bringing help for all of us, to help us grow in our faith and trust in the Lord. As well, Jesus knew that the people that he came to save would need something that we could see, taste, and touch. and that's set here before us. So let me pray for us now as we head to the table. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much that your power is on display through your word and in your creation. Lord, that you are powerful over all, and that your Son, who through all this was created, is sitting at your right hand, enthroned above. Lord, we thank you that he cares for us so much that he lived the perfect life and that he died for our sins, and that not only did he take away our sins, he gave his righteousness to all who believe. Lord, I pray that we would truly believe that and we would marvel at your greatness tonight. In your heavenly and awesome name we pray. Amen.